Welcome to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly, it is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, KSRO.com, and also streaming live on Facebook with the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. And I'm pleased and delighted to have a major audience in here today. We have Jessica Jones, who's a long-range planner with the City of Santa Rosa, and her family. So if you hear applause in the background, that'll be Jessica's kids going, "Yay, Mom!" And then we're doubly pleased to have David Gooden here. And David has been on the show before, and he's the Director of Development for the City of Santa Rosa.
Yep, Director of Planning and Economic Development.
There you go. Okay. So we're going to chat about, number one, and we put it on Facebook and chatted about it for a couple of weeks. They have the neighborhood, I'm sure if you've heard of those, the online neighborhood kind of things where they have Santa Rosa and Southeast, all that kind of stuff. So we have about, I think I said it out to about 2,800 neighbors. So they're, and who all live around here. So we're all wondering what's going to go on with the Southeast Greenway. So Jessica will discuss that. And then David is here because they don't think we'll be able to talk about the Greenway for an hour, but he'd be surprised. But David's going to kind of fill in and tell us what's going on with some other long range planning or just some development properties that are happening. You made the boast here that we were going to be at 1,000 permits per year. So I'm going to ask him and keep his feet to the fire on that one and see how far we are. But before we get going, you can give us a call, and Joe will be manning the phones this time, won't you, Joe?
I'm here and I'm awake.
You're here and awake. Good. Okay.
And not hot this week.
You're not. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that hot. Give us a call at 636-1350 if you got any questions of these folks. This is the City of Santa Rosa Hour, so it should be a lot of fun. Specifically about the Southeast Greenway project, which is pretty close to the station, which is the old Highway 12 extension. And then, like I said, David's here to chat about some other planning that's going around, so we'll chat about that. But give us a call, if you will, 636-1350. Just some brief market stuff right now. The total listings are starting to creep up a little bit. We're about 862 active listings for the county right now. For all these are all detached single families. So we're starting to see a little surge in inventory. The $1 million market is probably about a third of that is over $1 million. So our medium home price is now about 624. It was up about 6% over last year at this time. So, one of the questions I have, David, and we should talk about this, is there was a time when new subdivisions were a break. You got a break buying a new subdivision because it was cheaper than resale. That doesn't seem to be happening anymore. It seems like we have some projects that are all pretty much at market or way above, except for the project we'll talk about, which is the one, was it Cream's Junkyard at one time or something? I guess that's not good to refer to a property where the site was, but I guess they're going to be in there. They were in the newspaper last week talking about being in the 450 range,
right? Yes,
which is substantially less. Yeah, that'd be great. So we're just going to briefly kind of go in back and forth, but before we go, Joe, do we have our wipeout of the week? Stanford got their butts kicked last night.
Yeah, that wasn't too good.
That wasn't. They look weak,
yeah.
weak.
Or either that USC's great.
Yeah,
let's hope it's not that.
But then Oklahoma beat Ohio. That was a cool game.
It was a good night, but it wasn't a very good night for wipeouts because the highest number I could come up with is 63.
Well, that's not bad. What was the other score? 63 to what?
63 to 7.
Okay. Well, that's...
Montana scored in the first quarter.
Yeah, well, I think over 60 is what we call an official wipeout.
Yeah, but we've had
We've had 80 or something. Yes, I know some of those schools. Yeah.
So I keep looking for that because I keep thinking if I come in here with a 63, you'd be very disappointed.
Well, that is kind of mediocre, actually. Yeah. Maybe we have more parity in the football nowadays.
San Jose State and Fresno played some big games last night.
Yeah, well, Fresno State played Alabama.
Yeah.
It didn't qualify as a wipeout, but it was 42-7.
They got a touchdown. San Jose State
was way behind, but I don't think they would qualify as a wipeout either.
0-52, I think it was.
That's old hat.
I think Alabama probably put in their water boys at the end or something.
Probably at the beginning.
Yeah, probably. I was going to be kind, Joe. Okay, you're mean. Okay,
yeah, that's mean.
All right. Anyway, so let's kind of get to it, and we're going to take a break here about 9:15. But Jessica, tell us about you. How long have you been doing planning? You have that very stoic look about you that only a planner would have, okay? She's the kind of gal when you go up to the front desk, you go, uh-oh, don't want to play poker with this gal.
Okay? Now, why are the kids shaking their heads?
They're all going, yeah, that kid, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've been a planner for a little over 17 years. I've been in Santa Rosa for a little over 11 years. Uh-huh. So I'm just happy to be in Santa Rosa. It's a good place to do planning.
Now, where were you before?
I started at the city of Tracy and then went over and spent about 5 years at the city of Belvedere in Marin County.
Oh, interesting. Really?
And then I was up in Cloverdale.
So you couldn't afford to live there at all, so you had to go north, right?
Yeah, no. So I commuted there, which was not fun, but and then went to Cloverdale for about a year and then finally came to Santa Rosa.
Cloverdale, really? Yeah. I know they had a planning department. I guess they do in Cloverdale.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I'm not. Come on. I like Cloverdale. Joe is from Cloverdale, as you can tell. David, now we've had you on the show before, and you made the great boast, okay, which I shouldn't hold your feet too close to the fire because I know how tough it is. But we were going over last year's numbers, and we looked at, at that point, you had done 250 permits, I think it was. And now, then you said we're shooting. And we'll say that. We'll say it was. It's a goal.
Got to have a goal. Yeah.
It's like everybody should have a goal, right? All right, kids, you got goals, right? Yeah. What time's lunch? Okay. Yeah. Okay. But we talked about doing 1,000 units per. And I spoke with some people in the industry. They were going, really? So that's all they said, really. But so where are we? Do we have a projection? Are we on track? I mean, I know there's a lot of ground under being moved around the city.
Yeah, we have a lot of construction currently in play right now. We talked about a few of them before the show up on Fulton Road. We have 120 units being built up there. We've got. If people are familiar with the old driving range on Highway 12.
How could we forget the old driving range on Highway 12? Hey, folks, we have a couple of planners from the city here. Let's talk about that driving range.
Well, it's turning into housing, so it's a good day. So that's they started grading on that project, which is
exciting.
Talk
about the highest and best use of land. Yep. That driving range was not the thing to do.
So we got there. So things happen in phases. Things happen over time. So it's good to see that one going. We have a couple more happening on Spassible Road further down further to the west, and then also by the to the east side of Sebastopol Road. So there's quite a few housing projects there, and we have a lot of projects downtown that are currently going through the planning process.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Which is exciting. So that's our big push right now, is to bring housing downtown, more transit oriented development, walkable, higher density housing.
Sure.
So we've got the Pullman Lofts, which is up on Wilson Street. Which is great. There's about 72 units up there.
Right.
We've got
Was that the gentleman who's worried about the marijuana dispensary or the marijuana thing?
He was not the person that brought that forward, but he did bring that up. The other project you're mentioning is Deterk Winery Village is going through the planning process. They actually have the approvals to build that project, and so it's up to the developer at this point to find the money to build it. And then we've got the one that was in the paper more recently. We had the Smart development that the property was sold from Smart to a developer.
Right.
And so now we'll be working with that developer to try to develop that site right by the train station.
Now, was that the one that was going to be a hotel or like a cooking thing or something at one time? They had all sorts of great plans for these back before the market tanked.
Yeah, lots of different plans. Yeah, and right now it's currently looking like couple hundred units with a plaza and some shopping and retail.
Great.
That'll probably evolve as it goes through the planning process and the design review.
So are you seeing with the advent of the smart train finally, it's now, yay, we have service. Are you seeing more people coming forth doing things, Jessica, for that whole corridor along the smart train?
I mean, I think that we're seeing more development or potential for development coming through because of the economy, probably because it's the smart station coming through. But we're seeing a lot more activity in the downtown area.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, it's good to have that train running again.
And we're making an aggressive push for downtown. I think our goal is to bring housing downtown.
Well, it seems like, there's two hotels planned, right? Hughes Hotel, mm-hmm. then the old Empire Building. That's going to be turned into a boutique.
Yes.
And how many rooms is that going to be?
Not quite sure. I think it's in the
30-40 range.
Yeah, 30,
it's not that big of a
it's
building.
It's not that big. No.
Yeah.
The other one is the AC Marriott, which is over Railroad Square.
Right. Yeah. So, that's in the newspaper today.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's exciting to see that one move forward as well.
So. Yeah. That'd be great. So let's take a break. Come back more. We have Jessica Jones. Did I get the right? Yeah. There it goes. Jessica Jones, who's a long-range planner with the City of Santa Rosa, and also David Gouin, who's the main guy over there, director of all the development. So you got two great people to chat with here. Give us a call, 636-1350. We're going to come back and talk about the Southeast Greenway Project and tell you what's going on with that right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
I asked Daniel to sing The Quest, and he didn't want to do it a cappella, but we were able to find the karaoke version, and Mike's going to sing. So, Mike.
To dream.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
Good morning once again, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County. Just want to alert you to some guests. I'll be gone next week at the Monterey Jazz Festival. I go every year. I've been going since 1986, so I'll be out of here. Joe will be here, but he's not going to be the – we're going to have a guest, let's see, what do I want to say?
A guest host.
So I can't talk, remain a mystery.
I can't talk sports for an hour, huh?
No, that's not a good idea.
Bummer.
Yeah, bummer, I know. I know you want to do that, but you can't do that. It's a real estate show, Joe. Get over it. All right, so, but we're going to also have Ivan Choi. Ivan Choi, he'll be here the week after, and Ivan is a U.S. District Manager with U.S. Bank and had one time worked as a Vice President at Countrywide. Then B of A, and we went through the whole REO mess together, and he was the regional guy we always spoke with through when it came to the REOs. We're going to have Ivan back on the show with my friend John Duran, who works now at Coldwell Banker, and we're going to chat about just the shape of banking and the future of banking. There's some interesting things that are out there. One of the other guests we're having in October is a guy, this is really interesting. He has they now approved GoFundMe sites to raise money. So now before you had to have what they call seasoned money. You had to have money if you guys gave your kids money to buy property. If you were doing an FHA, they allow gifts. But everybody else, you have to wait 6 to 7, 8 months. It's got to be seasoned. It just can't show up. Money just can't show up in your bank account. So that leaves all the marijuana growers out of the world. But the nice thing about this is the GoFundMe side, it takes the money as it comes. So it's really kind of cool. So instead of going to that destination wedding in Jamaica and spending, you know, $85,000 on it, you can now put that into a GoFundMe site or have your guests, instead of buying you china, give you some money to buy a house. So that's good. So we'll have him here in October. So getting back to planning, welcome once again, you guys. And Jessica Jones is here. She's a long-range planner. Now, what's the difference between a long-range planner and just a planner? You can get the big picture kind of gal?
It is big picture. So we have two divisions in our department, long-range planning and current development. And current development is dealing with processing of development projects that are new construction projects happening in the city. And long-range planning is looking at, as you said, the bigger picture, looking out 20, 30 years, right, and the vision for the community over that period of time.
So a vision for Dyke, the downtown area, what's the corridor going to look like, right, when the smart train comes through.
Yes.
Great. And then David, you're kind of the overseer. He walks around with they beat the drum and David goes, go faster, faster. No. But you're the man who kind of pushes everything through the pipeline. You're the guy that's kind of responsible for getting it through. And when you were on the show previously, we talked about the time frame for getting projects approved and how we were going to try to cut through some of that stuff. But I know it's an uphill battle, buddy, and it's a tough job you have, but the nice thing about it is there is a lot of stuff going on.
And we're taking the approach, it's a three-prong approach. First, we have to have, if we're really serious about housing, one is identify funding. So right, where are we going to get funding? Through a notice of funding availability, we released $3 million a couple months ago to try to get more affordable housing built.
Right.
There's also some bonds that are currently going through the assembly right now, that housing bonds that we're keeping a close eye on to see if we can capture some of that revenue to put into housing. The second is policy work. So we have to update our policies and craft policies that will help encourage housing to be built. And so we have probably 32 policies we're working on. The first package of policies we're bringing forward to our councils, a handful, and Jessica's got them here. There are things such as the ADU policy, which we've talked about before, density bonus update.
ADU means accessory dwelling unit.
Second, right, units, yeah. Density bonus policy, which basically means you can build more density on a piece of property if you put affordable housing on site.
Right.
There's impact fees, adjusting the impact fees to make sure that they're their appropriate rate to make sure we're not there's a barrier to reduce that barrier to development.
Right.
And then the third thing that we're doing is our process. So that's permit streamlining. It's, yep, how to move things through, yep, faster.
Right.
Identify efficiencies and create an easier pathway for housing projects to move forward. So we prioritize housing. If you bring affordable as part of your project, you go right to the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those are the efforts we're making, and it's been, it takes some time to get some of these policies changed, because they do require public input,
right,
and it requires going to council and making sure that everyone's on the same page.
I know.
But we have probably four or five that we're hoping to get to council in the next, 4 to 5 months. So it's pretty aggressive.
Good,
but it's
good,
exciting to see, yeah, some of these changes happen.
Well, then you may have a district council, yeah, right, to work, right, with. That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
well,
on top of all
that,
this,
we'll do it in,
yeah,
the next.
Yeah. Yeah. So that we're in the process of actually the next 90 days developing what those district maps are going to look like.
Yeah.
So that's a big effort over the next 90 days, and then that'll take place potentially in the November 18th
election.
Won't have
any gerrymandering going there, will we? So let's thank you, David, for that. So Jessica, let's talk about the Southeast project, because I was raised in Guerneville, so I've been around here for a long, long time. And I remember when the city council did the infamous little checkered mark, mm-hmm, that went over Spring Lake, and people just went absolutely ballistic. And he said, "Well, we're not really going to do it, but we're just going to kind of put it on there, and it never really got beyond that." But the questions we have now is that there's that swath of land, and why don't you tell us just where it is? And I think it consists of what, 55 acres?
About 57 acres. Acres, and it is at the. It begins at the end of Highway 12 at Farmers Lane.
Literally the end. Of
yes.
The, keep going. You're going to fall into Farmers Lane. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So when Highway 12 gets into Farmers Lane, right across from there is where the Greenway starts, and it extends to the Spring Lake Park.
Right.
And it's it's a narrow swath of land. It's about 1.9 miles in length, mm-hmm. But about 57 acres. And so it was previously identified as Caltrans right-of-way, identified as a future extension for the Highway 12 freeway. And so Caltrans determined that they didn't need that anymore. And so now the question came up, what are we going to do with that land? Can the city acquire it? And if we do, what do we want? What does the community want with that land?
Sure, sure. So the obvious question is, since we're not going to push Highway 12, what are we going to do with all the traffic? Because I know eventually we will have the Farmers Lane extension, which will swing over to Kiwanis Springs. Is that correct, David?
They're looking at the feasibility of doing that.
Yeah. That's because that's been on the works forever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that still have land out there they bought in 86. It'll be here any day now. But the traffic is now dropping down in the Farmers Lane. And then there's, the Hohen Avenue was changed to reflect the bicycles and all that kind of thing. So is there going to be any cross traffic coming through that area now, the southeast corridor, or is this just everything's going to be a walkway? Or
so there is a walkway, a multi-use path that is identified through the entire length of the Greenway area. There is no proposed roadways through that,
right.
So the traffic would kind of remain where it is.
Right.
We did take a look at traffic impacts, as we're developing this. There definitely is, traffic impacts out there. And so the city council will have to weigh the importance of, moving this project forward and the impacts that are out there.
Right. So now, is Caltrans officially abandoned the site? Did they sell it to you guys? Are you guys trying to raise money to buy it? What's going on with that?
Yeah, so there is a group. It's the Greenway partnership that is working to try to raise funds to purchase a property from Caltrans, and they're working on getting the property appraised right now to figure out what the cost would ultimately be.
That'll be interesting appraisal,
right?
Yeah.
So, hopefully that information will come forward soon. And then the Greenway campaign, along with Sonoma Land Trust, we're working on getting grants, working on donations from the community to help raise the money that would be needed.
Yeah. So right now we're pretty much deciding what it's going to look like, but we haven't bought it yet.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So one of the things before
there's no other bidders out there. We are aware of, are they?
No. And one of the things that the appraisers need in order to figure out a cost is, what is this land intended for?
Sure.
As a right of way, there was no general plan land use designation for this site, and no associated zoning. So without that, you don't know what could go there. So then you don't know what the price would be. So the project that the city is putting forward right now is creation of general plan land use designations that were developed based on community outreach that was done over the last year.
Right. Yeah, I remember the people that were doing that. There's a woman, I forget her name, but she has a very interesting last name. Like a French name? Does it ring a bell at all? But she spoke to us, I think, 7 years about this or something. So it's one of those long-range planning things.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Right.
But when you look at the overall map of itself, it's really interesting because when it crosses Summerfield, it gets really narrow.
Right.
It's like almost like it's 50 feet wide. So
yes.
Thank you, Joe. So what happens is that, and we're going to come back and discuss just if there's a housing element, because when this all started out, there wasn't the huge housing crunch or, that we have today. So was that going to be reflected? Is that a city maybe pushing that aspect of it, or is this totally generated by the citizens? So we're going to come back and chat about that. Who's going to decide? I know the EIR is out now, the environmental report, and yet that is October 4th, Jessica, when the date closes for comments on that?
Correct.
Great. Okay, we'll come back and talk about that also. So we're going to return with Jessica Jones, long-range planner for the city, David Gouin, who's the director of development for the city of Santa Rosa. When we return with the Real Estate Hour, give us a call, 636-1350, 636-1350, right back after these words.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Hurricane Irma hitting Miami. Windows are cracked. A construction crane's been blown, crashing into a high-rise. But the worst of the storms expected to power up Florida's west coast later today in Naples, then sweeping up to Tampa, where ABC's Alex Stone tells us the mayor is warning.
He said, Mike Tyson once said, and I never thought I'd be quoting Mike Tyson, he says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. We're about to get punched in the face, is how he puts it, of what is about to happen here in the Tampa area. They are worried about storm surge. They are worried about the wind. They are telling people, if you are not in a shelter, get into a shelter now.
ABC News meteorologist Daniel Manzo says for all the advanced equipment and days-long monitoring capabilities,
for some of these people in Naples and Fort Myers especially, they woke up yesterday to a whole different track and had to evacuate on a moment's notice.
Several storm-related deaths, more than 1 million power outages. With continuing coverage, Hurricane Irma. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you 3 easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Warmer temperatures the next couple of days. Today, blue skies at 94, 76 on the coast. Mostly clear tonight, low 60, 58 on the shores. Partly cloudy for Monday at 90 degrees, 75 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, a few clouds and a bit cooler at 81, 69 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Morning, Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour, and we're delighted to have Jessica Jones, long-range planner for the city of Santa Rosa, and David Gouin, kind of a surprise guest. I heard you might have been listening, but I'm glad to have you here. And he's the director of development for the city of Santa Rosa. So they're doing a lot of stuff. We're talking about the Greenway, the Southeast Greenway project, which is that swath of land, which was going to be I can't even imagine a freeway going down Hohen Avenue. And it's just kind of incredible. But and so now it's going to be kind of a mixed use area. And the one thing that we discussed off air is who owns the land, Jessica. So kind of reiterate what you just told me off during the commercial, because the city is not buying this.
That's correct. Yeah. So the property is currently owned by Caltrans, and we're working on getting it appraised, or not we, the Greenway partnership is right. Working on getting it appraised and to determine what the cost would be so that it can be purchased.
Right.
And so it would be purchased by a private group. The Greenway Campaign, along with Sonoma Land Trust, is working on that. The city would potentially take over the areas that would be parkland, along with the water agency. They would take over the potential open space areas from Summerfield to Spring Lake Regional Park. the areas that are identified for development, for mixed-use development and housing, would be potentially purchased by a private developer from right. Caltrans.
Okay, so people need to understand that, is that the city doesn't own it. You're more of a pretty much a facilitator for the project. And who is behind, who are these neighborhood-based groups? I know Land Pass was one of them.
It's the Greenway Campaign, which is a group of community members that came together a number of years ago help move this along. Sonoma Land Trust is working with them and they are really working hard behind the scenes to get grant funding and also working with the campaign to help raise money to purchase the land.
And so right now they're trying to determine just what people want with that corridor so they can put a price on it, because you just can't really know, well, what do you want to use it for? Well, I can't give you a price if you tell me it's just going to be park space versus, you know, high density, you know, housing. Now there are areas though, who is determining where the high density housing would be? Is that the city coming in and saying that, or is that Caltrans wanting that, or is that the folks that are part of the neighborhood thing?
Yeah, so that came out of a community outreach effort that was done. There were a number of community meetings held over the last year to try and understand what the vision for the overall community is for this area. Out of that process were three potential alternatives. Mm-hmm. Those alternatives were then brought to a joint meeting of the Planning Commission and the City Council to vet out. Then a final preferred alternative was developed and then again brought to the community for their weigh in on that, and then brought back to the City Council and the Planning Commission. And what came out of that was the product that we have now, which is up on our website. And it includes about 47 acres of both active area, active recreation and park area, and open space area. And then some areas for medium density, multifamily residential housing, and mixed use. And the potential for that would be about 244 multifamily units and about 12,000 square feet of retail space.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. So that's a good use of the land. So the nice thing about it, too, is that it's going to hopefully be this nice little, because Dave, you're an avid bike rider. Is that correct? So you'll be able to shoot up there from now. What's it going to connect to? Is there another trail that will connect to, David?
So, it's going to connect to, the idea was to connect, make sure that it connects to the overall city bikeways that we have going on. And so it will go span the length and then up to Spring Lake Regional Park.
Right. So the other side of the freeway where Caltrans, where the freeway stops at Farmers Lane, is that going to stay like that? Or is that eventually, does Caltrans have plans, David, to go across the freeway and then do an off-ramp there or anything at all? Or are they just going to be just left out there to...
No, as Jessica can probably talk a little bit more about, is the area where housing and commercial development are proposed is in that
triangle right there where the old where there's a paint store now.
Yes. Right.
Then the Hoehn Avenue frontage is part of that.
Right.
So that's being looked at for that use.
That'll go up to where Montgomery High School is? Pretty much where the street, what street is that? Is that the Creekside that runs across there? Or?
So there's Frankette, which is adjacent to the high school.
Right,
and that the area adjacent to the high school would remain that recreation and parks. There, the community identified potential area for educational opportunities adjacent to the high school for community use and the high school use.
Right. Yeah, and if you want to go on to my Facebook Live site, you could get all three websites that Jessica sent me that kind of give you a broad overview. There's some great maps on there, kind of shows you, you know, what's going to happen with this parcel, because when you look at the everything going up next to it, it's pretty much all, I mean, on the Hoehn Avenue side, it's all multifamily properties. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting from, you know, probably pretty much where Creekside comes in, pretty much all the way up to all the way up to Summerfield. Because you have professional offices at the top or Summerfield or across the Summerfield. But you say, Jessica, that the high density commercial will be further down on the project, so to speak. Eugene Dow meaning closer to the old Highway 12.
Yeah, so primarily it will be adjacent to Farmers Lane, so that we can make sure that we get access to it, and it's a, you know, an appropriate location for the parking and traffic that would be generated from that. And there's a small piece of mixed use that is identified at the Yalupa frontage.
Right, right. So now, how do people comment on this? What do they mean? You have the comment period. Mm-hmm. Do I send you a letter? Send you emails? Text you? I mean, how do we get a hold of you guys to do that? Is there a process that we have to do?
So,
I know you're having a city council meeting September 14th.
It's a planning commission meeting. It's a public hearing for the both the draft EIR and the proposed amendments to the general plan and the zoning. And so that is on September 14th at 4:00 in the city council chambers at City Hall, and then so people can come in and provide comments at that time, and then we also encourage folks to submit written comments, either mailed comments to us at City Hall, directed to me, or to my email address, which is jjones@srcity.org.
Okay, say it slower.
Sorry, jjones@srcity.org.
Great, super. Yeah, because the city, the planning commission will be an interesting. Excuse me.
Too much bad coffee.
That's funny because he blocks me up and they can hear it in your microphones.
Yeah.
So the comments, and so the thing about, because we're talking about price, okay, what's this going to be worth and what's going to sell for. So I would imagine, you know, to keep the price down, we've got to stay away from too much commercial or higher density stuff. If it's open space, that's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than if it's all high rise or, you know, going all the way down the thing, because that's a lot of land that'll be put to a park where we could be putting housing. And I'm sure I hear that from other realtor friends of mine and people that are in the business, in the development side of the community, and saying, look, why is this, it was going to be a freeway to begin with. Why in the heck should we make it a green area when we could put housing, which we desperately need, along that whole corridor?
Yeah, well, and I would say that you know, we're not looking at this to try and figure to get a lower price. The idea is to propose a vision and land use designations for this area based on what the community wants, and not so much, you know, how it's going to affect the price, but to get something that is, you know, going to be useful for everybody that lives in this area.
Yeah. I think it'll be a great project, and we'll be delighted to see it, because right now, it's, you know, you look down, it's really obvious when you go over Summerfield, or excuse me, Yalupa, you can just look down and see nothing but, you know, this open area.
Right.
It looks like, you know, somebody put a tractor through there. So how long is this process going to take? So the EIR closes October 4th?
October 4th, yeah. Right. So comments need to be to me by October 4th. Following that date, we will start looking at responding to those comments. And the response to all comments received on the draft EIR will be put into the final EIR.
Right.
And so that will come back to our planning commission, we anticipate sometime in mid-December, and which time the planning commission will then be making a recommendation to the city council, who will have the ultimate authority over this project. We anticipate that it will come to the city council probably sometime end of January, beginning of February. And so that time they'll be acting on the EIR and also the proposed land use designations and zoning for this area.
Right. Okay. So this is really a great opportunity for people that live in that area that want to see this become a green space, to really, you know, get out the vote, so to speak, but get those letters and emails to you and let you know what it looks like. So then the city, then the planning will kind of weigh all the alternatives and say, okay, this is what we recommend this to look like. Okay. And it'll probably, I mean, it could change with the comments that come in, but do you anticipate it really changing all that more dramatically than what's here? Because a lot of thoughts have already been put into this one as it is, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of community work and work on both the Planning Commission and City Council to develop this as it is today. You know, once the land use designations are put into place and the property is acquired and the city does take over the park area, area at that time, then, you know, we will look at prioritizing this amongst our other work in the city to start working on master planning for the park.
Yeah.
And so that would be another opportunity for the community to get involved.
So as far as the park, are we talking just walkways? Are there going to be soccer fields? Or
No soccer fields. There is proposed multi-use path that would run the entire length. And then there are areas for more active play, playground areas, picnic areas, and then also areas for open space, potentially community garden areas. So we are not looking at the specifics of that right now. You know, we have some ideas that came out of the visioning from the community, but the specifics would come out through the park master planning when we get to that phase.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of people that we've sold a lot of houses on either side of that whole thing. Just people are waiting to see what it's going to look like, because I think the way it's planned out, it'll just solidify the values in that area, so you'll know what you got, you know, so you can react accordingly. Because especially the people that come off Mayhead Village, their streets dead end now into this field. It'll be so much nicer that was all green and made into a pretty park. Right. That'll do great things for their value. Well, let's take a break, come back, and we'll chat about a little more long range planning with David, and we'll see how close we are to that mythical 1,000 units per year. See, you shouldn't have said that to me. You shouldn't have said it on the air, David, because you never forget. We'll come right back with the Real Estate Hour. Yeah, right after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Tom Shalhoub Show.
You know, here in California, we spend an awful lot of money on the lottery. Doesn't some of that money go towards school?
Every time they brought in a state lottery to say it's for the children.
Early afternoons right before the drive on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Fountain Grove, here's FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday live on the Voice of Sonoma County, KSRO.com, celebrating 75 years. You know, I'm going to be on next week's show. They're having a 75th, I think, our anniversary. And I was trying to figure out how long I've been doing this show, and I realized Alex Stone was my engineer. Alex, who is now recording for ABC.
I ran a show for Alex Stone. He had a bunch of kids.
Teenager thing. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, for Montgomery.
I ran that board, too.
But he used to be
we haven't been here 75 years.
No, we have not. It just seems like a joke, yeah. But I think I've been here at least 22 years. No, yeah, so.
I have no doubt about that. Yeah, I've been here since 92, so.
Yeah, cool.
I think that's pretty close to accurate.
Right, cool. All right, so we're here with Jessica Jones, long-range planner of the city of Santa Rosa, and David Gouin, who's the director of development. So let's talk about, and Jessica, one more time, your email slowly.
My email is jjones, that's jjones at srcity.org.
That's an easy one. That's an easy one. So then, David, would you like to give forth your email? Or do you want people just to leave you alone?
I'm pretty easy to find online, but it's dguhin at srcity.org.
Yeah, I know, because there's another, not Gouin, but there's somebody else in the city.
David Gwine.
Gwine, I know it. I was got all ticked off at the PD because they were saying they were misspelling your name, and I realized it was a different guy.
Right. You know? Yeah, David is the director of Housing and Community Services.
There you go.
It's not a phone call, but the caller just said it's 80 years they're celebrating.
Really? Oh, 80? I thought it was 75. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, thank you for that. So let's chat about, and Jessica, thank you very much for coming on to talk about this. I think it's a great project.
Sure.
So right now the EIR is open until?
October 4th.
Okay. So if you want to do any comments on it, you can go to the websites I posted on Facebook. They're all there for you to go to. But like I said, you can always email Jessica. If you go to the City of Santa Rosa site, David, I'm sure there's a comment, something about the EIR happening there.
Yeah, it's on our website under Planning and Economic Development, and we have current projects that we're working on, and it's listed under there.
Yeah, that also talks about the Planning Commission meeting that they're having also. So cool.
Correct.
So give your comments if you want to see this become a nice greenway for the City of Santa Rosa, and it'll be a nice asset, I think. So, David, how are we doing with building?
Yes. So as I mentioned, we're heavily working on policy and trying to figure out what to do to help spur development.
Right.
And, we are seeing an uptick, as we mentioned, a number of projects that are moving forward. Our permit activity through our planning department right now is something we haven't seen in years.
Right.
We've had to bring on extra help, consultant help, extra staff to help get through the push. So we're running the numbers right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but hopefully at the end of the year we'll have more permits starts to report on. What we're finding though is it's labor has become the number one hindering effort. And so we're trying to figure out what to do, how we can help in that process. So we're reaching out obviously to our the JC and other groups that are trying to build that next generation of workforce. But during the recession, a lot of the trades left the industry, unfortunately, and we're seeing even our own staff trying to hire inspectors or building plan check engineers. We can't find anybody. We do recruitments over and over again.
Sure.
We can't find anybody.
Now, you think that's one of the reasons that might be is the high cost of housing here. I mean, if you look about getting a job in Arkansas versus coming to Santa Rosa, California, I mean, there's a huge difference in pricing, obviously.
Sure, that doesn't help, I think. But I think there's also just a shortage of people with those skill sets that are still remain in the industry. And it's something that we hear time and time again. People that, again, during the recession left the trades and they're not coming back.
Yeah.
And so they found other careers and other ways to make a living. And it's worrisome because it's key to building these homes. And we're struggling with all the rest of the contractors out there, and it's something that is the number one thing. The second thing we're hearing is financing. So what we're starting to see is with these big developments, so 120 unit subdivision, people will pull five homes at a time, get the financing, sell them,
really?
Pull
wow.
the next five
oh,
or ten,
wow.
And so people are doing things in batches, which is interesting.
But
we are seeing that once they're built, they're selling. Very quickly, and I'm sure you're seeing the same thing.
So
we're, I think that's a positive sign that hopefully will encourage people to pull more permits, and not be as hesitant to pull them.
Yeah, a friend of mine was telling me that in Sacramento, there's so much building going on there, is that when they talk about, okay, if I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go to Sonoma County or I'm going to stay in Sacramento and build, because a lot of these guys, the crews come out of that area, and they're going, we got plenty of work over here, why should we go to Santa Rosa and have to put up number one with the compute and the commute and all that stuff?
Well, it's the same with labor, right? The labor force in Sacramento and the Bay Area is fairly strong right now, but to commute up to Santa Rosa adds that extra layer of cost.
Right.
So in essence, the developer up in Santa Rosa has to pay a premium for the labor that people are paying for in the Bay Area and Sacramento, which doesn't help the overall cost of getting a project through.
Sure. So how many do we have in the pipeline now? How many would you like to tell us about that, or is it?
Yeah, we've got a couple thousand units that are going through the pipeline right now in various stages of planning and entitlements and building permit review.
Right.
It's an interesting process. So we have one project, for instance, that has close to 300 units, is ready to go. The building permits are ready to be pulled, but the developer doesn't want to pull them for certain reasons, either financing or other things. So there's only so much the city can do to get a project ready to go, and then it's up to the developer to actually pull those permits and,
yeah,
and
build. Well, right now, if they pulled anything today, they're going to have to get foundations in.
Right, yeah.
And, so, you know, they're going to be paying interest on this thing, so why would you start maybe even building now if you get stuck? Look what we had last year, rain-wise.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and then you're in the middle of building, and then you're stuck, and you have things framed in, and there's rain, and so they may just hold off and do it in the spring.
It's a great point, and we're seeing a big rush right now of everyone getting to that October 15th deadline, which is the October 15th deadline is essentially the water regional water quality control board's deadline for grading and disturbing soil once the rains start.
Yeah.
And so as your point is that people have to get foundations put in so that they can build over the winter.
Right.
The sticks up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we've seen a big push over the past few months of people trying to get in place. But it's a mad rush to get to the. And nobody knows what's going to happen this winter if we have another winter like last year, or we have.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
A dry winter where we can build all season. So it's, we just don't know.
Well, we know they won't blow away. Probably
they probably won't.
Like most of Houston did. Yeah. But in that kind of begs the question also, because you know we talk about planning, streamlining the process, and I know, you know, the state of California, they were going to be putting forth more money for affordable housing, David. Now, how is that going to work? Is that going to be bonds they're going to throw at you guys, or how are they going to work it?
There's two bills that are moving through. There's a package the governor has is three bills. One is SB2, SB, and the other is SB3. SB2 and SB3 basically do two different things to raise money. One is a bond, a housing bond, that would then go into dispersion of funds throughout the region and state. The other is a fee on the transfer of paperwork,
essentially
transfer docs.
Docs.
And again, that would raise money to go into housing. And the third is a policy item that's SB35, which basically forces cities to streamline their process, reduce the amount of environmental review, specifically traffic and parking and other things that are typically the number one concern from residents. And so that's something we're keeping a close eye on. And if
Jerry seems to be pretty pragmatic as a governor,
yeah,
and he says, "Look, cut through all the BS, guys. Let's get building." Yeah.
And the goal is to try to prevent NIMBYism from happening.
Right.
Say we want housing, but don't build it next to me. And so that the governor is trying to step in and provide direction to cities to say you have to, if there's housing that can go on this site, you need to put housing on that site.
Well, the state itself seems to be taking a more, they're really getting their hands dirty in the day-to-day operations. So the accessory dwelling units, they kind of said, okay, guy, here's it is, make it work.
Yeah.
You know, so that gives more housing.
Right.
We have the water studies now, which are the Santa Rosa Plain, Sonoma Plain, and Petaluma, and those, and I think we're actually going to be going to meters on wells eventually. But then what's the other thing they did? The septic issues.
Septic, yep.
So they're working on that. So is this a trend you see where the things are going to come on high from the state down to the cities and in the counties and say, okay, guys, here's the deal, make it happen?
Yeah, they've shown time and time again that they want to do that. Density bonus is another one where statewide the governor sets this is the direction we want to go, and then local agencies can modify it to make it fit their agency. So if local agencies are actually producing housing in a way that's supporting the goals and our affordable housing goals, then those rules won't necessarily affect us too much.
Right.
It's for the cities and agencies out there that really don't want to build housing or do any sort of affordable housing. It's to encourage them to be part of the solution.
So how did the accessory dwelling unit thing shake out? Is there a final? Is that still a work in progress?
It's still a work in progress. The one thing we're waiting on is the fees. So we're working on how can we adjust the fees to make them affordable. That was the number one comment we received, is the fee to an accessory dwelling unit was the barrier to producing the housing
need. Yeah, yeah.
And so we're taking a really hard look, an aggressive look of changing those fees, reducing those fees, and getting them to a point where we feel that we'll address that comment to people's satisfaction.
Yeah, because one of the things we heard is that if you're already hooked up to sewer and you have water, why should we pay additional sewer and water hookup fees?
So we're hoping by the end of the year you'll see something come out from us on that.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, see, there's an hour, Jessica, just like that. Okay. Jessica was going, what are we going to talk about for an hour, you know? We didn't know we had David here, but we could go and do another hour because it's really fascinating what's going on with the city. But a lot of good things. So we got a lot of hotels on the horizon. horizon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of, you know, ground being broken. Hopefully we have more houses and affordable housing. So that's good stuff. Thank you guys for coming in, Jessica, and your fan club. Okay, husband Mike and the two kids are running around here somewhere. And David, as always, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. We appreciate it. And we have websites. Once again, if you want to check it out, you can go to the City of Santa Rosa website and find out about the Greenway. So the Raiders are up next. We'll see you next Sunday. I will not be here, but we will have a guest coming in. I'll see you the Sunday after that. I'm Mike Kelly. This has been the Real Estate Hour.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com. The